It's 10 o'clock and I'm calling to order the August 18th special meeting of the Kootuat Fire District Potential Committee. Members present are Ms. Wallace, Mrs. Hadley, Fran Parks, and Mr. Boudreau, the attorney for our district. First order of business is Amy Cates' open meeting law complaint. I'm going to read the complaint she emailed to the Attorney General's office into the record. The Prudential Committee held this was received from Ms. Cates on August 12, 2014 at 8:50 a.m. The Prudential Committee held two executive sessions recently, 6/19/14 and 7/10/14, to discuss a property for sale on High Street in Kootuat. How could your committee approach the chairman of another community organization, the Civic Association Board of Directors, for discussion at their August 5th meeting to request an opportunity for the Prudential Committee to make a presentation at the group's next meeting concerning the potential acquisition by taxpayers of real estate on High Street without any discussion of the issue in an open meeting of your committee? Although this topic was discussed in executive session, it has never been either discussed or voted on in public session of the Prudential Committee. How does this action demonstrate a knowledge by the committee of open meeting laws and a willingness to follow them? Since this committee member released executive session information to the Civic Association, will your committee be releasing the minutes of the two executive session meetings to the public as well? There has been more than ample time at the July 28th Prudential Committee meeting to discuss the topic of the property and to vote on how it would be best to present the information to the residents of the village. The open portion of the July 28th meeting lasted only 6 minutes. After adjourning the public meeting, there was further discussion by a quorum of committee members that lasted more than twice as long as the public portion of the meeting that had lasted. The topic of that discussion is not known. Okay. I would like to respond to Mrs. Cates' complaints. Number one, the Prudential Committee held two executive sessions, 6/19 and 7/10/14, to discuss a property for sale on High Street. How could your committee approach the chairman of another community organization, the Civic Association Board of Directors, for discussion at the August 5th meeting to request an opportunity for the Prudential Committee to make a presentation at the group's next meeting concerning potential acquisition by the taxpayers of real estate on High Street without any discussion of the issue at an open meeting of your own committee? Although this topic was discussed in executive session, it has never been either discussed or voted on in public session of a Prudential Committee. How does the action demonstrate knowledge by the committee of open meeting laws and a willingness to follow them in discussion of an issue in an open meeting of your own committee? My response is, you questioned me at the July 19th meeting before we went into the executive session to discuss the June 19th meeting to discuss High Street, saying the annual meeting had not authorized any funds to purchase a property. When I replied, I had been in contact with the Attorney General's office to make sure the committee was following the letter of the open meeting law. You then wanted to know why I needed to talk to the Attorney General's office. Being here today addressing another open meeting law complaint filed by you is the reason I consulted the Attorney General's office. Number two, since a committee member has released executive session information to the Civic Association, will your committee be releasing the minutes of the two executive sessions to the public as well? No one has released any information, including any considered price from the executive session to anyone. Per the Attorney General's office, the committee does not need to release executive session minutes or make public the price and or other conditions of the sale until a written agreement is in place. The asking price information for the property has been available on the worldwide internet in Kootuat, Cancun, or Calcutta for 126 days. Number three, there has been more than ample time at the July 28th Prudential Committee meeting to discuss the topic of the property and to vote on how it would be best to present the information to the residents of the village. The open portion of the July 28th meeting lasted only 6 minutes. After adjourning the public meeting, there was further discussion by a quorum of committee members that lasted more than twice as long as the public portion of the meeting lasted. The topic of that discussion is not known. There was only one member of the public present at the 28th July 2014 meeting, deciding to present the information about the property at the annual Civic Association, where the chance that more than one person will attend seems a common sense solution and not one that would need a vote of the committee. I am unaware of any law that prevents the chairman of a committee releasing any non-executive session information to the public. The agenda posted for the June 6th meeting clearly stated the purpose of the executive session was to discuss the High Street property, making our interest in the property public knowledge. At the conclusion of the 28th July meeting, after all of the equipment was put away, Mrs. Hadley asked me to stay for a minute because she wanted to have a private discussion with me. You were in the vestibule making no move to exit the building, and when Mrs. Hadley asked you to go, your response was there was still a quorum. Mrs. Hadley then asked you if you wanted to be in violation of HIPAA laws. You finally left, allowing Ms. Wallace to exit the building. Your comment about the conversation Mrs. Hadley and I had is just made out of whole cloth. I very greatly resent your thinly veiled accusation that the members of the Prudential Committee were engaging in discussions violating the open meeting law. The open meeting laws are just that law and should not be taken lightly by anyone. Violation of those laws have serious ramifications for public bodies and elected officials. There is a process spelled out in the open meeting law guidelines that you do not even bother to observe. You blithely mailed off your complaint to the Attorney General's office based on uninformed and inaccurate assumptions made by you. Any comments?
Yes, I think it's too bad, Marge Wallace. I think it's too bad the complainant isn't here. She repeatedly files these complaints, and we need to respond to them. We can't have a discussion without her here.
Correct.
Or a two-way discussion. Is Mr. Boudreaux going to send your response?
I don't need to do that unless there's a vote from the committee. You know, all we need to do is have a response, and if she does follow up with a further complaint, a formal complaint to the AG's office.
Thank you.
Mrs. Hadley, do you have a response?
Not a word.
Okay. My feeling is that she sent this spurious, is that the right word? Thank you. Email to the Attorney General's office, and they've read it. So it's there. And we've been told that, it doesn't become an open meeting law complaint until we respond. Well, I think I want to respond. I'm not going to let it just sit there. Yeah. So I would make a motion to authorize Mr. Boudreaux to file a response for us to the Attorney General's office relying, responding to the August 12th complaint of Amy Cates.
But I think that's a little bit early. She will have to follow through after you respond for a formal complaint. Otherwise, there'll need to be that response. The Attorney General's office only has a copy of it. She has not filed a formal complaint.
So we send this to her?
No. You send that directly to her, and you can leave the Attorney General's office out. If she takes it to the next level, then I think she...
What did...
I did call the attorney.
We get such confusing information from that damned
office. Hannah Rush, who I usually speak with, is out on leave until November, so I spoke with a different assistant AG. And he said he can't comment on an open meeting law complaint until that's pending. But he also said that they had received the email. But then I think that is addressing what you just said, that it's not a formal complaint yet. So perhaps we should send this letter to her, your response, and see where we go from there. But it's, you know, we're just spending too much time on these complaints nonstop.
I love the business.
Well, then I'd like to see it. You know, I just don't want it to sit there. I realize, you know, I mean, I just, it's an...
It's an
accusation made against us, and you know, if she chooses not to respond, it's still sitting up there. They've still got the email.
Need to respond.
Yeah, oh no.
Yeah.
To Amy.
Okay.
Could we send it registered mail so we know she's received it and she can't deny that?
Certainly.
Okay.
So I'm just going to send off what I read as my response.
All right.
Could I have a motion to do that, please?
I make a motion you send Ms. Cates a copy of the statement that you read this morning.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So, the next order of business is an executive session, the purpose of which is to consider the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property and not to return to public session. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Hadley, are you in favor?
Yes.
Ms. Wallace?
Yes.
Fran Parks, I'm in favor. We're now in executive session.
But if you could make a declaration as required.
Okay.
Six.
Okay. We're going into executive session to consider the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property if the chair declares that an open meeting may have a detrimental effect to the negotiating position of a public body.
So declare.
Yes, I am.
Could we acknowledge that Ron Mycock has entered the
yes.
session?
Mr. Mycock will be joining the executive session.
And you didn't break coffee.
She's not above eavesdropping.